For WUKY News, I'm Dan Collins, and this is The Business Side. President Biden has called on Congress to increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Back on the program today to discuss the potential benefits and costs of this proposed change is the Richard W. and Janice H. First Endowed Chair of Economics at UK, Dr. Kenneth Trosky. Dr. Trosky, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Dan.
The Congressional Budget Office released a study in 2019 predicting what effects increasing the federal minimum wage might have. Can you give me a summary of their findings?
The report makes clear that there are benefits from raising the minimum wage and there are costs, unlike any policy you want to think about. Oftentimes, some people benefit and some people lose. They considered a couple of options, raising it to a $15 an hour, raising it to $12 an hour, or raising it to $10 an hour. We should start out by letting everybody know the current federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. So all of those would represent reasonably large changes in federal minimum wage. And let's focus on the $15 option because that's the one being considered. They estimate that about 17 million workers who would otherwise earn less than $15 an hour would see an increase in their wages. Another 10 million workers otherwise earning slightly more than $15 an hour might see their wages rise as well. But 1.3 million workers would become jobless. The number of people with annual income below the poverty threshold in 2025 would fall by 1.3 million. So the minimum wage would help about 17 to 27 million people by seeing them get paid a little more money. Somewhere between maybe 1.3 and 3.7 million people would lose their job. And then the number of people who are currently below the poverty line would fall by about 1.3 million people.
Where would the money come from to pay for this increase in wages? And I guess what I mean by that is this money going to come out of profits? Is it going to come from the highest earners? Are they going to see a decrease? How is this going to be funded more or less in an economic sense?
There's been a bit of research on that. Businesses will see their costs rise. The businesses that hire workers, they pay them a minimum wage, will see their costs go up. So the question is, how successful are businesses at transferring these costs to their consumers? In cases like this, where it's a broad-based policy, where all businesses that employ minimum wage workers are going to see an increase in cost, probably going to be successful at basically passing along those additional costs to their customers. So customers will pay a little bit more for their products. You know, and that's what advocates of the minimum wage talk about, is that most people will feel. However, what the research that looked more carefully about where these businesses are located, well, it turns out these businesses are located in places where low-wage workers live. Not surprisingly, they're the ones that are operating in a place where there are workers that they can hire for lower wages or minimum wages. So wealthier folks who can primarily perhaps afford to pay a little bit more for their products, they tend to shop in places where higher quality products, better services, they already pay more money, and the workers in those places make more than the minimum wage. And so it actually is minimum wage workers that tend to live in places that are going to see the biggest increase in prices due to the minimum wage. And so in some sense, the benefit from this minimum wage to these workers is somewhat offset by the fact that they are the ones that bear a lot of the brunt of paying for the minimum wage through the cost of goods that they purchase.
So how do you think increasing the minimum wage would impact folks in Kentucky, especially in some of the more rural areas?
I would say that probably going to have a limited impact on Louisville and Lexington. But yes, the biggest impact is going to occur in rural places where the cost of living is low already. Part of the reason why people in urban areas earn more money is because it's more expensive to live in urban areas. Particularly smaller businesses in more rural areas are the ones that are going to bear the biggest brunt of the increase in the minimum wage. You know, Walmart doesn't pay minimum wage right now. I think their starting wage at Walmart might be 11. Nationally, they quote the number of $11 an hour. I'm sure places like Home Depot or Lowe's, it's similar. So the impact on those types of businesses, even in rural communities, will be lower. And that's one of the ways that these smaller businesses compete with these larger big box retailers, is they sell products for less money and then they consequently pay their workers less money. And so those are the businesses that are primarily going to be hurt, are those smaller businesses in rural areas that are trying to compete with the larger businesses that are located nearby.
What are some policies or ideas that you think would be better than raising the minimum wage to alleviate the financial burdens on low-income Americans, assuming that is the focus of a minimum wage?
I always come back to what's the best way to help people. You know, the place I always start is education. Fundamentally, the wage that you earn is a function of the skills that you bring to the labor market. And one way you increase those skills is through education. Job training programs have a role to play in part of this as well. But if you were looking for a federal policy that I think would be effective, I think the research suggests that something like what's known as the earned income tax credit is another effective policy. Because what the EITC does is if you work, it will provide you a tax credit. So ultimately, it's a wage subsidy. If your employer is paying you $10 an hour and your overall earnings for working is in the bounds of the EITC, the EITC will actually give you a tax credit, thereby basically increasing that wage that you earn for working. It's not a cost that's absorbed by the individual business, so they don't have to change their prices. Of course, it is a cost that is absorbed by the federal government, and there are some states that have state-level EITCs. And at that point, that cost is absorbed by taxpayers. But then again, since we have a somewhat progressive tax system in this country that ensures that a larger portion is paid for by higher income individuals, something that, again, we already talked about a little, is one of the limitations of the minimum wage is that the burden seems to be falling primarily on lower wage, lower income individuals.
My guest today on the program has been Dr. Kenneth Trosky, the Richard W. and Janice H. First Endowed Chair of Economics at UK. Dr. Trosky is also a research fellow with the Institute for the Study of Labor in Bonn, Germany. You can hear our conversation online at wuky.org. Dr. Trosky, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Dan. It was a pleasure to be here. I enjoyed it as always.